Right. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. There are the book of Isaiah has so many prophecies that are talked about there, and the first several are well the prophecies right before this are so dire, are so bleak, given what's happening at that time. And then we see chapter 35, and it all seems to turn around. And chapter 35 is a prophecy of the messianic time, the prophecy of what we see under the Christian age. And so I want to read about a couple of those things here because it's so important for us to understand what is intended for us and the joy that we can and should have in this age. All right, let's read. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. And that happens when he comes in the flesh. We see that he comes into the flesh, and we can see that the his glory and his excellency. And it's as if we the glory of has come upon us. We have joy, we have singing. So many beautiful things. And then verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With a recompense of God, he will come and save you. Think about what's going on here. Looking at the fear that people must have, especially at this time when the faithful eventually Judah and is going to fall soon. I think at this point, by this point, the Northern Kingdom of Israel has fallen, but Judah will fall in a few short years. And yet they are fearful. They can be so fearful. But now we can strengthen those weak hands because the Messiah is coming. Someone is going to come to rescue them. Be strong and do not fear. And then we also have the vengeance of the Lord coming as well, which of course doesn't come upon those who are faithful to him, but for those who are unfaithful. So if you're unfaithful, you should fear. Then we see verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This is a prophecy of not necessarily these things physically happening, but a prophecy of these things spiritually happening. We see that the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Those who just don't see that Jesus is the Christ, don't see the truth, will be open. They will be able to see that. And then there's another aspect of this. There's a spiritual aspect and a physical aspect because these are fulfilled physically, because of the healing that Jesus does when he comes. He does make the blind see. He does make the deaf hear. He does make the lame walk. He makes those who are mute to be able to speak. It's such a beautiful thing to see. Verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. We talk about holiness a lot in our Leviticus classes, and how wonderful and how much desired that holiness is for God's people. And we need to keep on that highway of holiness. And then he goes on, the unclean shall not pass over it. Now, I don't think he's talking about those who are ritually unclean, but for those who are morally unclean, those who are sinful, they will not pass over it. It shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. The way it reads in the New King James, it sounds like even a fool could find it. But really, when we look at this and in other translations, a more literal understanding of this, it's saying that fools can't find it. Fools will end up avoiding it because they don't see that Jesus is the one that wise men ought to follow. In fact, wise men did seek him. There's that the bumper sticker you might have found that wise men still seek him, a reference to the wise men seeking him in Matthew chapter 2. When he was a baby, wise men still do seek him, as they should. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. He's not talking about physical Zion here, but he's talking about spiritual Zion. And we understand that to be his church. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. Well, you know who that is? That's us. With everlasting joy on their heads. We need to be a happy people. We need to be a singing people. We're going to sing a song in a little bit that sings of the praises of God, that asks people to respond to the invitation. Who at the door is standing? Well, that's Jesus who's at the door standing. He's let those who are his ransomed enter into Zion, enter into his church, his kingdom, with singing, with joy. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Do we have sorrow in this world? Of course we do. But we don't have sorrow because of our sin. In the sense that our sin has been taken away, taken care of. Our sins have been forgiven. We should have a godly sorrow for past sins, but at the same time, they've been forgiven. And we should rejoice in that. We should rejoice that our sins have been fully taken care of. Our sins are fully forgiven. They didn't have that back then, but we do through the Son of our God, and that is Jesus Christ, through our Lord and Savior. And there is a way that we can have that full forgiveness. It says a fool isn't going to find that way, but I hope that you're not a fool today. I hope that you find that way. I hope that you, and I pray that anyone who's listening and watching this will obey the gospel. If they haven't already obeyed the gospel, now is a great opportunity. Yes, there's a pandemic, but you know what? Some essential services are required. And one of those essential services that is higher than any other earthly thing is our spiritual salvation, is our salvation. And one way that we can do that is first believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We don't need to be there for that. You need to repent of your sins. We don't need to be there for that. You need to confess the name of Christ. Well, somebody's got to hear it. If you're going to confess the name of Christ, it's got to be before somebody. So somebody must hear it. We don't have to be there but for that, but you can do that over the phone. But the thing is, you can't be baptized over the phone. Somebody's got to be there for that. And I know people, myself included, who are willing to take that chance. If you are in need of salvation and need to be baptized, please don't hesitate. Don't wait. Do that as soon as you can so you can have that joy of singing. You can be so you can have that joy of salvation that Isaiah talked about there in chapter 35. You can have a home in heaven. And if you are a Christian and you need to make things right with God, well, you know what to do. Again, there are things that we don't have to be there for, but we can pray for you from afar. We can certainly take care of you in that way. So please, if you have any need, we encourage you to make them known to us today. Please, let us know. The instructions will be on the screen in a second, and we would love to help you at this time. Please, let them be known as we sing this song.